I'm Matthew Sherry, and this is Game Picks.
Yes, welcome to Game Picks, the preview podcast where I go head-to-head against my friends from around the NFL as we see who can cut it in terms of picking winners and losers every week. I'll give you the update on the scores before we welcome in today's guest. I went 10-6 last week, knocking off for the second time this season the great Brian Baldinger. He went 8-8. On the season, I'm 140-66-1. My guests are 132-74-1. As I welcome in long-time editor of Gridiron Magazine, author of Any Given Sunday, the NFL's epic 100-year history in 20 games, Matthew Sherry, one of my bosses, one of my many bosses. I hear, Matthew, on the... I'm a well-connected man. I'm a connected man. I hear you really want to take me down this week.
Yeah, massively. I mean, I noticed that you started with some low-level intimidation there by pointing out the record of everybody else. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like you've left me till late in the season because you know I'm the big competition. So,
I didn't want to set a bad tone. You know, I feel like you're kind of almost... I was thinking about having you week 17, you know, when I was playing my backups technically, but there's no such thing in picking games. I must be sending out the wrong vibes as a person because everyone who's come on here just wants to give me a metaphorical kicking. Charles Dagnall, Darren Fletcher, yourself. What am I doing wrong?
Mate, you to be the best, you got to beat the best, haven't you? That's what we're all thinking.
Before we get... a little bit later, we'll chat about... obviously, you've been driving Gridiron all these years, which is a fantastic publication. I'm very pleased to be a part of it. And we'll talk about your book. But let's just talk briefly before we get into the games. Are you enjoying the season that I guess we all worried would never arrive?
Yeah, I mean, I got to the stage the other day where you just look and it's like, wow, there's 3 weeks of this thing left. There hasn't been a week 18 yet. How has this happened? I don't know if you've had the same thought. I remember me and you chatting before the season, Neil, about, you know, whether the Super Bowl would be the first game with fans and what we thought would happen. And yeah, I mean, it's just as the season always goes in the blink of an eye, I think. But, you know, we're now down the home straight where really it looks like they're going to manage to pull this off without it being massively impacted. I think there's been a couple of teams who've been unfortunate. The 49ers, not just through the injuries, but obviously what happened to them for that Thursday night game in Green Bay, New England earlier in the season, Tennessee to a degree. But ultimately, there was always going to be some fundamental unfairness to this year, I thought. So I give them a lot of credit for pulling it off.
Yeah, I think Ravens would be another one you could add to that list. Yeah. I think we're heading into week 15. If they haven't lined up a week 18 by now, and you talk about those teams that have been affected, I don't think we're going to have it. I think they're going to plow ahead on schedule.
And they can easily do what they've done, which is, you know, if you have to play a Wednesday night game, and at this stage it would be crazy to add a week 18, wouldn't it? Imagine the logistical challenges. I mean, and I say that I'm not editing the magazine anymore, but we wouldn't be able to get a Super Bowl preview magazine out if there was no 2 week window between the... So there's lots of... obviously they're not thinking about Gridiron in their decisions, but there's lots of knock on effects for lots of people if they do it, and you would think that... Yeah, I think it'll run as expected.
Absolutely. So we are at week 15. Let's get into these picks. Good luck. All right, let's get into these picks then. So what we're going to do, Matt, we're going to go through every game, but we're going to do what we call the big six. So we'll dig into the big six first of all. And I've put this one in because it affects both of us. Your New England Patriots at my Miami Dolphins. Let's start first of all with a question I've asked most of my guests on Sky Sports in recent weeks. Is Cam there in 2021, or are we going through the final weeks of Cam Newton? Should it even be Cam Newton? Should it be Jarrett Stidham by now? What do you think?
I mean, after Baltimore winning, I'd definitely think it should be Stidham because their chances of making the playoffs are slim to none. I mean, I don't think he'll be back next year now. I mean, if he is, it will be as a backup, I think. He's fallen off dramatically in the last 3 weeks. People are talking like this has been the case all season. But actually, he started off really well. He obviously had the COVID thing. It took him a little while to get his legs back under him, and he had some decent performances. But the last 3 weeks have been dire, and part of me thinks there's an injury that makes it dire. which probably tells you what they think internally of Jared Stidham as well. You know, if he can get in over a guy who has failed to pass for 150 yards in each of the last 3 weeks, then, yeah, I really struggle to see a route back, certainly in a starting role. And I mean, I think that's the most interesting storyline of the offseason. What are New England doing at quarterback next year?
Absolutely. This is a difficult one to pick, though, isn't it? Because, you know, I want to say, you know, I think back to week one and I thought the Patriots did a number on the Dolphins. Now, Miami have developed and grown since then. I think they gave Kansas City a real kind of shot. Kansas City took all their punches last week and then still won. But why this is hard for me to pick Miami, which is where I would naturally lean, is because Mike Gesicki might be out, Devontae Parker might be out. They've got no one in the running game. It's making it hard for me to pick the Dolphins here. I mean, I think I am going to do it. I am going to pick them. I'm going to go heart over head, but I don't do it with a great deal of confidence.
I would 100% go for New England in this game for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you actually break down New England's season, I mean, you are what your record says you are in the sub 500, but they've only lost two games big. They could have easily won and have had opportunities for game-winning drives in virtually all of the other games. The two they've lost bigger to the 49ers and the Rams, who run a very similar style of offense. And it was very clear that McVay had watched the 49ers game ahead of the game last week. The Dolphins just aren't equipped to produce that kind of game plan. And actually, where the Patriots are strong, the Dolphins are weak. They don't stop the run very well. I think the matchup plays into New England's hands, even if the Dolphins have a full pack. And obviously, as you've just said, they don't either. So, yeah, I mean, the Rams game was bad, but it's easy to forget that as bad as we think the Chargers are, they did beat them 45-0 the previous week.
Yeah, you make compelling arguments, and I wish I hadn't gone Dolphins, but I can't bottle it and change it now. I'm sticking with it. Chicago at Minnesota. I mean, the Bears did have a bit of an offensive explosion, which we haven't seen all year, but I don't trust them to do it a couple of weeks in a row, even with it against the Vikings defense that isn't what it was. Who'd you like in this one?
I think Minnesota. I mean, that loss to the Bucs could really sting Minnesota, but I don't think we should lose sight of this was a 1-5 team who had won 5 of the last 6 games before that. And actually, they dominated that game against the Buccaneers. It was just the classic, you know, not converting in the red zone, having a really bad day from your kicker. I think the Vikings are heading in the right direction and actually a team, unlike the Bears, I'd really enjoy seeing in the playoffs because they could knock off a good team. If you get a team who struggle to stop the run and they get Dalvin Cook going, Zimmer is schematically good enough to be really good on third down defense. So as much as the defense has taken a step back, they're still situationally very good, I think. So yeah, the Vikings for me.
Yep, Minnesota for me as well. Let's move on to Seattle at Washington. And the football team are becoming quite a story. 4 wins in a row. And it's not really... Well, Alex Smith is a steady hand, but it's the defense, isn't it, that drives this team? And it's the defense that's going to pressure a Russell Wilson who's been under a lot of pressure for the last 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, it's amazing how as that offensive line got a little bit banged up, it just looked different in terms of him scrambling around a lot. And we saw what the Giants did to them. Where I think that I like Washington to have a chance in this game is their defense isn't just extremely talented. It's very disciplined. And that's what the Giants did so well. It's not really, with Wilson, it's not about just sending Chase Young and saying, get after him, do what you can. It's being disciplined in the rush and keeping him in the pocket. And we know that's how you beat him. He's still very difficult to beat because he's so accurate. I would lean Seattle in this game, but it's a potential upset game. I'm going to go for Seattle just because I'm willing to write off. If you look back at the Pete Carroll era, Seattle throw a mid-season stinker in basically every year. So I'm willing to write that off, that Giants game off as that. But yeah, wouldn't be surprised if Washington pulled the upset either.
Yeah, I'm going Seattle as well. And I think because I still trust Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf to find 3 touchdowns or so, and you wonder whether Washington could get that. And also, let's factor in, it could be Dwayne Haskins at quarterback as well, which is a factor there. So both going Seattle. Let's move on to Philadelphia at Arizona, 2 quarterbacks who like to run around. I was struck by, obviously, Jalen Hurts made a difference from an X's and O's point of view, but it was a classic emotional boost and lift for the Eagles. But I was struck, you know, I watched a lot of that game. It was on Red Zone on the other monitor while we're doing our main coverage on Sky Sports. It wasn't until I dug into the numbers afterwards, he had 18 carries. I mean, yeah. He ran the ball 18 times. He's kind of changing. He's going to change the way they play, isn't he?
Yeah, and he needs to, because the Eagles, I mean, the main problem with the Eagles is that even against bad run defenses, they continued to throw the ball with Wentz, and it was crazy. Like, there were games where they were averaging 6 yards a carry and rushing 12 times. It's just that somebody needs to get Doug Peterson out of his own way. I disliked the Saints game plan against Philly, and I think that Arizona should learn from that. I mean, the amount that they were in nickel for a team, I mean, they were obviously going to run the ball. If I was looking at that from a basic level, Jalen Hurts is going to run the ball. So, yeah, I mean, as it relates to this game, obviously Cardinals had a really nice bounce back against the Giants. They still, I know at one point they were the number one offense in the NFL, but it feels like really good defense has shut them down, because it is still that rinky-dink college offense. And a good rush also does, because similar to Wilson, you keep Murray in the pocket, and he can't see over the line. He's a lot shorter than Wilson, and I do think that is an issue. I don't believe in Cliff Kingsbury at all, to be honest. I think the Eagles will win. I think the Eagles could be an interesting team the rest of this year. I'm going to back them to pull this off.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at that, the Eagles have always had a good pass rush, so that is something to look at. I think Arizona, my worry with Arizona for most of this season has been, you better score 30 points to win, because you're not going to give up. You're going to give up a lot of points. And I'd be interested to see what they do against Philadelphia, who are coming off a good game, because obviously they shut down the Giants, but that was the Giants, and it wasn't, their offense is not that great. But I'm going to pick Arizona at home, not that home field advantage counts for a lot in the NFL this season. So we're different on two so far. Let's go to Kansas City at New Orleans. So these are the top two in each of their conferences. They've locked up playoff berths, but of course it's not about that. It's always about trying to get that home field advantage and that, more importantly, the first round bye. I guess as we're recording this, we don't know if Drew Brees is back or if it's Taysom Hill. I mean, even last week when they were talking about Brees coming back, I was shocked, and I'd be still a bit surprised if he comes back this week. 11 broken ribs, and I don't know. I just think they might stick with Taysom. What's your first thoughts on this game?
I mean, my first thoughts are that there's no reason to rush him back, because I wouldn't say there's been that much of a drop-off between when Brees was there and Taysom Hill. Obviously, it's a different game plan ultimately, but I think Brees looks finished. I mean, and I thought that throughout the start of the year, he can't throw the ball downfield. So, you know, it's a very different defensive game plan. I think the Chiefs, I'm at the point now where I just don't see anybody beating the Chiefs this season. I think the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl, because it just strikes me with Kansas City that they have an extra gear if they need it. We see them in games where it just looks a little bit flat, and then bang, 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 they're able to, you know, the playoffs were the ultimate example of that. And I'm not sure any of the other teams have that extra gear. And I think either way, the Chiefs will win this game, because they'll be up for it. I think part of it with the Chiefs this year has been complacency. You know, I think they know they're that good. And I think in the playoffs, they'll almost be a different team again. But this is the kind of game where they'll want to make a statement, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think last week was a perfect example. They went 3 and out 4 times. They had 4 turnovers. Mahomes was sacked 3 times. He was picked off 3 times. They still scored 33, and he still threw for 393. It's like, we'll take all those shots, bang, 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 and we'll still come back and beat you.
That is crazy, isn't it? If you just said those numbers and said, how many points did they score, you'd think 10.
Right. You shouldn't win the game with that. You really shouldn't. And just going back to your Drew Brees point, because I think it was really interesting. Obviously, Kamara had about 6 or 7 catches last week. But in the month prior to that, I think 7 in 4 games, 7 yards receiving. I mean, they took him out of that offense. And that shows actually when Brees is in there, just how much of a safety blanket Kamara has to be for him, right?
Yeah, completely.
So we're both going Kansas City in that one. Last one of our big six, Cleveland, who played an incredible game on Monday night at the New York Giants. I just think Cleveland showed they can, if they have to, get into a big scoring shootout. So for me, I think they're going to find too many points to be worried about the Giants. I'm going to go Cleveland. What do you reckon?
Without a doubt. And Mayfield has improved dramatically over the last 3 weeks as he gets more comfortable in that offense. And the offense is such a great fit for him as well. I think, you know, Stefanski bringing that Gary Kubiak, Shanahan-style offense has really made a difference to Cleveland. The thing that frustrates me with the Browns is how bad their defense is. I mean, they've got talented players on that defense, and it just feels like they never pull it together. And but ultimately I agree with you. I thought they say there are no moral victories in the NFL, but I actually thought Monday night was one for them. They got blown out by the Ravens at the start of the season, and that, more than anything, you look at that arc of progress over the course of the season for Cleveland, that gives you more reason to be optimistic than they've had in how many years, Neil?
Yes, well, more than we can remember, I'm sure. So, all right, both going Cleveland there. Let's get on to some of these other games then. And we've got Saturday night football as well, which is a sign that Christmas is coming. Let's start, first of all, with the Thursday night game, the LA Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. And we'll kind of rush through some of these, bit of a two-minute offense here. I'm not overly confident in the Raiders at the moment. What do you think, man?
I think the defensive coordinator change will help. You generally get a bit of a lift, and that's a complicated scheme that Paul Gunther runs. They'll probably simplify it, and you'll see good results. I think they'll win this. It's do or die for them as well, isn't it? They need to win this game to stay in the hunt.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders as well. That is actually a really key point when you're trying to pick games down the stretch. Who actually needs it? Who doesn't need it? Can be a thing. To Saturday night's games then, Buffalo at Denver. I mean, a Buffalo all day for me. I really like what they've got going on. What do you think of Josh Allen's growth this year?
It's a roller coaster. I didn't think he would be anywhere near as good as he's been, I'll be honest, because I just don't think generally accuracy improves. He was brilliant at the start of the year. Then it felt like he was coming back down to kind of the mean. He's been exceptional the last couple of weeks, and he's got great weapons. The big thing for the Bills, they'll win this game, I think, is their defense is improving as the year goes on. And I've always thought that if they could marry this new offensive explosion with the defense they've traditionally had under Sean McDermott, which wasn't there earlier in the year, to become a really interesting Super Bowl contender. So, yeah, hoping to see them continue that. Because I'd love Buffalo to win a Super Bowl. They've had so much heart here.
It's just the one thing is just like, well, I wish the fans were in there this year for them, you know? Because
for them in particular, yeah.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be like, it's kind of what you expect with the Bills and all of that. Just sort of separate from the picks, would you put them above Pittsburgh now? I know they've only just beaten Pittsburgh, so there might be some recency bias here, but do you put them above Pittsburgh in terms of the biggest challenges to the Chiefs?
I do, yeah, 100%. I actually think there's some other interesting teams in the AFC who match up against the Chiefs and are interesting as well, like the Colts, if they get in. I think defensively, they had a great game plan against them last year. But yeah, Buffalo, that team for me, like you say, if they can marry the two things up, I mean, their defense has been consistently top three in the league under McDermott, and it wasn't early in the year, but I think that's exciting for them, isn't it? You know, the defense wasn't as good as it's traditionally been, but they still have that great record, and you marry those two pieces up and they become a really dangerous team.
Carolina at Green Bay. I'm picking the Packers. I just don't know. I just still have, every now and then the Packers will give you that game they had in Tampa Bay, and I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team, but their record suggests they've got every chance to be. Where are you on the Packers? Well, first of all, you're picking the Packers, and then where are you on them?
I will just pick the Packers. I would love to pick Carolina in this game, and it is the one that jumps out to me as huge upset potential. I've never seen a coach before 9 in his first season and do a better job than Matt Rhule, and I say that with a lot of bias because I loved him in college, but you can just see that they're a well-coached team every week. They're basically in every game every week. When I looked at them at the start of the season, I thought talent-wise they were perhaps the worst team in the NFL. Mm. But they're competitive every week. And crucially, Green Bay have a fatal flaw which will kill them in the playoffs, which is that they can't stop the run. And they've played a number of teams who haven't been willing to exploit that, including Philly, in the last few weeks. You know, Jacksonville nearly beat them. I think a well-coached operation, they could win, but I'd love to pick them, but I'm going to just go Green Bay.
No, I think you should. I think you've come on here. You don't know when you're going to be back on here with another pop at me. I think.
Go on, I'm doing it. I'm picking Carolina. Let's go for it.
Yes, I fell for it. Can't believe it.
I mean, brilliant. Well, we'll see.
You're playing to win, not to lose. Not playing, not to lose. I like it, Matt. I like it. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Well, this is tough because anytime I see an Atlanta game, a Falcons game in Atlanta, I think, whoa, they could have one of those where their receivers go off, they find the points. I'm going to pick Tampa Bay, but I think this is a tricky game for the Bucs.
Every game's tricky for the Bucs because they're just not clicking, are they? I mean, even last week, the offense just baffles me, to be honest, watching it. I haven't watched Tom Brady for so long. So I never feel comfortable, but I will pick the Bucs because, again, you know, it feels like they're pretty secure now in the NFC playoffs because it's nowhere near as deep as the AFC, but this game gets them over the line, doesn't it? So, yeah, I think they'll win because, again, it's a little bit, not do or die, but do to get them where they want to go.
I bought the whole, it's going to take time. It's going to take, you know, they've got to get on the same page. They've got to get in sync. They've got to have the right place. I get all that. It's week 15 now.
I know.
Right? They've got to have it right now.
It just, there were some really good signs in the last, after the bye, so a lot more motion and a lot of things like that, which, you know, you're not running motion with Tom Brady, who is the master at letting that motion dictate what he does and being able to read the defense, was just bizarre at times. So, yeah, I mean, I think the issue is the offensive line against really good teams still. It doesn't hold up, but that's all the more reason why third and five shouldn't be long bombs down the field. It should be Chris Godwin running an option route and letting him throw 6 yards. Like he has all his career. Yeah, that's the magic of Tom Brady. So, yeah, it's frustrating for me because talent-wise, that should be a Super Bowl contender.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They're built for it. Jacksonville at Baltimore. So the Ravens coming off Monday night, which was a big night for Lamar Jackson runs.
Yeah, massively. And
whichever way you look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Have we found out for certain yet whether
he's... No, we haven't, but that's not going to stop me making childish jokes.
It's one of your best ones. Baltimore will win this easily. Yeah, I mean, they've turned the corner again. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, though, for everything we thought coming into the season. Defensively, not as good as we expected them to be, and ultimately can be stopped by good defenses.
Yep. Let's move on to San Francisco at Dallas. So, tough one, this one, because I don't trust Nick Mullins. I tell you what I do trust, though, is Kyle Shanahan, and I think Dallas can be a get-right game for a lot of teams. So I'm going 49ers.
Yeah, I saw people say Dallas showed some good signs last week, and, I mean, they beat a bad Bengals team with a quarterback who doesn't belong on an XFL field, I don't think, quite unconvincingly. So, yeah, I'll take San Francisco as well.
All right, Houston at Indianapolis. This is an easy one for me because, again, one team needs it. The other one's kind of folded up, and the only player who's playing hard is risking his body, and that's Deshaun Watson. I'm going Indy.
Yeah, and I thought the way Indy won against the Raiders was a big step in the right direction for them. It feels like since Houston lost to Indy a couple of weeks ago, they're in phone-it-in mode a little bit now.
Yep. Detroit at Tennessee, again, same thing. One's going Tennessee,
100%.
All right, both going Tennessee there. A couple of these are kind of easy at the end here. The Jets at the Rams. I can't go against the Rams.
I mean, I'm not even going to dignify it with a response.
Fair enough.
Put it down that it's the Rams. Don't cheat me.
No, you're not going to. How this works, see, I never actually gave you the small print. If you don't give an answer, I'll just put you down for a ridiculous one.
I love the Rams.
Both going the Rams there. And finally, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh, yeah. I bet that's a get-right game for them, and they need it. I mean, they had a lot of luck early on in the season in getting to 11-0. If you look at the record, the quarterbacks they faced, you know, it was always going to catch up with them. But I think they're still a good team. I don't think they're a contender, but they're still a really good team, and they'll definitely beat the Bengals.
Yeah, I think it's funny how quickly the cracks can show. I'm picking Pittsburgh as well, to be clear. I'm not interested in the Bengals until Joe Burrow comes back. Wake me up when he's back.
Ideally, when they've got a new head coach as well.
And an offensive line for him. Yeah. So, give him some help. But Pittsburgh, it's a lack of even any attempt to run, an ability to run. And then actually, you play into it worse. If you're just going to throw it all over the yard with short passes, which is fine. Okay, that's your approach. That can work. Catch the football before you try and turn up field, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a fairly fundamental part of that ding and dong offense, isn't it?
It is. Right, let me just tally up here as we go through this, Matthew. I think, so you've gone New England, I've gone Miami. You've gone Philadelphia, I've gone Arizona. And you've gone Carolina, I've gone Green Bay. And that's it. So I think three games, we're going to have a winner. It's going to be good. Good luck.
That persuade me on Carolina might be your wisest move, but
man,
I really believe they can do it. Is it Saturday night as well? That one,
it is. Yeah,
nice. I'll probably stay up and watch it now. got a 3 week old baby I'm feeding at that time every night at the moment, so
set you probably up nicely. Watching. Set you up nicely for the weekend. There you go. So let's just wrap up this week's edition of Game Picks. Matthew, you said you were no longer editing Gridiron. You've been the editor of Gridiron all the time I've been working on it since its inception, but you're still around it, right? It's just one of those football moves upstairs.
Yeah, very absolutely. That's how I described it in the magazine. I love being able to say that. I kind of just taken on a more managerial role within the company that houses Gridiron. So Liam Blackburn is now the editor, who has worked on it from day one with me anyway. So when I founded it, Neil, and when I first met you, we worked at the Press Association together. Liam's been involved with it from day one. So I'm now just the founder, but not really involved in any way. I mean, I haven't, an issue went to print last night, I haven't read a word of it. So very strange.
Wow, yeah. I mean, you must be pleased with how it's grown, though. You know, we spoke about it right at the start when you kind of were thinking about doing it. And, you know, we've now been able to expand it to, you know, the season preview magazine that I get to edit, which I, you know, is one of my favorite things to do. I always put this in the kind of editorial bit at the start. I kind of grew up on, you know, friends or family going to America, and it's like, bring me back a season preview magazine. Even when I go to training camp tours now, I'm in the shops buying the magazines, and to be able to edit one and write one, it's been great to see the growth of Gridiron and kind of things that have offshoots from it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing. I remember chatting to you. We chatted about our first at Headingley Cricket Ground when Carl Rudolph was absolutely smashing it around in the nets from Liam Plunger. Can you remember that?
Yeah, on an NFL UK Live tour, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the first time we met, and I mentioned it to you and Jeff then. So yeah, to look back is crazy how much it's grown. You know, we've done, it's going to be weird this year. This will be the first Super Bowl that we haven't covered. We covered in New York from that first year, but it's gone really well. And now we've got a bigger team, so I've got a couple of people on the digital side of it as well. And it's just, yeah, it's always going to be the passion point for me. You know, I'm hoping to stay involved in the NFL stuff as well. On part of the thing I'm involved in now is a production company as well, joining in with the editorial. So hoping to be involved in some production stuff around the NFL as well. But yeah, it's been a proper rollercoaster. And to be fair to you, Neil, without wanting to blow smoke on this platform, what people don't realise is you literally do write 95% of that magazine every year, and I don't really know how you do it, because I would struggle to do it, and I like to think I know a lot about the game and everything else, but that is a huge undertaking, and probably one of the things I'm most proud of is how we brought that together and what it's done, because it goes down really well every year. You know, it's basically by my desk the whole way through the year as well, which is the magic of those magazines as well, isn't it?
Fantastic. And you still get your writing fix, of course. Let's talk about the book then, just quickly as we finish up. Any Given Sunday, the NFL's epic 100-year history in 20 games. It's on my shelf. I'm just going to fully admit, and you keep saying to me, have you read it yet? Have you read it? I read in the off-season. I just don't have time in the season. But I'm looking, it's right up there. As soon as this season's done, I can't wait to dig into it, because as you and I have talked, when you were researching it and I did my book years ago, the history of the NFL is fascinating. And it's great to catch up with those characters. That, for me, when I did mine, I'm interested to know if it was the same for you. The actual process of speaking to all the old guys was actually, that was the bit for me. The writing it up was a job, but that bit was just fantastic.
Just amazing. Honestly, definitely the thrill of my life to put it together. Some really surreal moments. I did like 40 minutes, no, an hour and 40 minutes on FaceTime with Jerry Rice, which was the most surreal couple of hours of my life. Terry Bradshaw said to me at the end of the conversation, ring me anytime. I'll answer all your questions. And if I can't remember the answers, I'll just make some good stuff up, which makes me question the validity of everything he told me in the preceding hour, but I've kept it in the book. But yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing story as well. I mean, we just grow up now around the NFL as this conglomerate that is just, this season being a prime example, that seems to have Lady Luck on its side permanently, and whatever it touches turns to gold. But it was so tin pot for the first 40 years. That was the bit. was so funny reading back through some of the things that happened. And I say 40 years, still stuff going on in the 60s that was like, did this really happen in the NFL?
Right.
It was just such a thrill. The research, and as you say, speaking to some of the older players was great. And I would say actually on the older players as well, we all terrified thinking about concussions and what impact that has. And I think to me, it often hovers over the game. And it was great to speak to some guys in their 70s, 80s who had just astonishing recall and things like that. Gives me some hope for that in the future as well. But yeah, it was magical. Loved it.
I remember interviewing Dick Butkus, and he was saying, I can't speak to you now, I'm eating my breakfast. And I was like, can I call you back? And he was like, okay, don't worry, we'll do it now. And it was like 45 minutes later. Chuck Bednarik thought I was Australian and told me he was sitting there in his slippers. And I thought this was the most intimidating man of his era, sitting there talking to me in his slippers. And talking of Lady Luck, and you just mentioned the New York Super Bowl was the first one Gridiron was at. Isn't that a perfect example? That was supposed to be a snowy Super Bowl. It was perfect conditions. It was actually warm on the night of the Super Bowl. Woke up the next morning to an absolute blizzard in the Big Apple.
Woke up the next morning to my flight was delayed 6 hours and I didn't think I was going to get out of the city. That's how bad it was. It was astonishing. That is the example I use, that they've got friends. They've got a higher power as friends. Similar with the draft. I was at the draft in Philly. I mean, it was absolutely scorching hot for 3 days in April in Philly, where you can have weather similar to what we saw in New York. So yeah, a virtual draft. They just do, don't they? They seem to strike lucky every time, basically.
Absolutely. Right, we're out of time. Just before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels. We're at the NR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, where you can track our picks and scores throughout the season. You can send us your game picks using hashtag game picks. Compare how you get on against us. And if you listen to game picks on the Neil Reynolds feed, please head over to the main Game Picks feed and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That will help us build our audience. All that's left for me to do is thank you, Matthew Sherry, and good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate. Get me back on for the playoffs and you can convince me to make a pick I shouldn't again.
We always have returning guests, so let's pencil that in. We'll see him again in the playoffs then. My thanks to Matthew Sherry. Until next week, it's bye for now. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest, and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.